You win! Ring the bell, sucker! This is Movie Fighters, the podcast where Chris Sims and I, Matt Wilson, we're your hosts. We watch movies and we beat them up. And Chris, we are going back to our early days.
We're going back to our roots, Matt.
On this episode, and we are watching a movie based on a fighting video game. In fact, we're watching one based on the Street Fighter franchise, which will be the third movie in the Street Fighter franchise that we have watched for Movie Fighters. We have previously watched the movie Street Fighter with the muscles from Brussels.
Let's give that a letter grade. Let's give these letter grades. I would say Street Fighter with Van Damme and Raul Julia and Kylie Minogue and Ming-Na Wen. I would say that is that is an A plus. that is an A plus perfect film.
I'd put it more in B territory, but okay. We've watched that one. We watched Street Fighter: The Legend of Chun-Li.
Right, and that stars Kristen Crook and Taboo
from the Black Eyed Peas.
I would say that's an F minus.
I'd say it's a D. So I'm being a little more judicious with my grades.
You're moderate. I'm a man of extremes.
That's true. The movie that we're watching on this episode is actually like basically brand new. It was released in 2014, and it was not released as a film until January 2015.
Yeah, I did not know this existed until it's not on American Netflix. It is on Hulu if you want to watch along with us. But our good friend Kieran Chiak, who does the Journey into Misery podcast, it's on British Netflix apparently. So he sent me a snap and he was like, oh, you guys should do this for Movie Fighters. And that is how I found out this movie existed. And I went and read up on it a little bit. And this, it's a weird, it is a weird story behind the scenes of this movie.
Yes, this was a web series.
It started as a fan film.
It was initially a YouTube fan film in 2010. Produced as a proof of concept.
Yes.
Then Capcom greenlighted it to go ahead as a web series. There was a Kickstarter campaign to fund it, but then some mysterious private backers came in and funded it instead. So they canceled their Kickstarter.
If those mysterious financial backers did not come in and identify themselves as Shadaloo, then there's a problem with this world that we live in.
and then it was filmed in Bulgaria.
The home of Street Fighter.
The home of Street Fighter and Rusev, a Street Fighter character.
I have referred to him many times as a real-life Street Fighter character.
Then it was released initially as a web series, 12 episodes that are 11 to 12 minutes each. Then it was shown on TV, or it will be shown on TV, on a quote-unquote currently undisclosed network, in a six-part miniseries, where each episode is 21 to 22 minutes. And now it has been released as a feature film on DVD and Blu-ray, and has somehow popped up on Hulu.
Yeah, so it is... It's essentially a fan film that the people who own the thing they're making a fan film of saw it and were like, yeah, it's pretty good. you can do it if you get the money.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing to me. They liked it enough to say yes. They did not like it enough to put money behind it.
That's right.
It is going to be in a very weird space right from the beginning. Now, the cut that we are watching is what is on Hulu as a film. And it is potentially the longest Movie Fighters movie we've ever watched. This thing clocks in at 2 hours and 33 minutes.
And what's really strange about it is that there's a TV movie cut that's 105 minutes. There's a much shorter cut of this movie.
Is this movie version that we're watching just the 12 episodes of the miniseries back to back?
Yes.
Like it's just all of it cut together.
It's the 12 episodes of the miniseries all smushed together with maybe like 3 or 4 minutes of additional material. Because the 12 episodes of 12 minutes is 144 minutes. This movie's 146.
Well, we probably got credits in there.
Yeah. It's basically just the web series all smushed together as one thing. One thing that's really interesting about this, and I guess it's, you know, by virtue of the fact that it is a fan film and a web series, I have heard of none of the actors in this.
Yeah, it's I was kind of scanning down the cast list. On the bright side, we do have a lot of Asian actors playing Asian roles, which has been a problem in the past for the Movie Fighters movies.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Ryu is played by a Korean-American actor rather than a Japanese-American actor. So I think that's probably worth noting.
Sure. There is no Cary Hiroyuki Tagawa, which is sad.
Automatic, like the best this movie can do is a B.
What I think is particularly interesting, though, is that this is the only Street Fighter movie that seems to even, like, attempt to do, and I don't know, maybe it doesn't. We'll just have to watch it and see. But it seems like it kind of attempts to follow the video game story a little more than other movies have in the past. Because the first Street Fighter movie focuses on Guile, who is not the star of the series.
Right.
The second one focuses on Chun-Li, who is not the star of the series.
Right.
This one focuses on, ostensibly, the two lead characters of the game series, Ryu and Ken.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that. Like, that is a thing that we've talked about. But also, Ryu and Ken are the most boring characters in Street Fighter. Like, they are ostensibly the main characters. They're the ones that the series is built around. But they are also the most boring characters. Like Ryu does not really have an arc, you know? Like, all the stuff with Ryu and the Dark Hado, which I think is what this movie is probably going to focus on, that tends to be the stuff that interests me the least out of Street Fighter. And you know, you and I should say, we are fans of Street Fighter. I'm a fan of the storyline. I've written for the Street Fighter comics. Like,
yeah.
I like Ryu and Ken, but I like them as part of an ensemble that includes, you know, the characters that I like more. That includes Chun-Li. You know, Sakura completely changes Ryu's character. Like, Sakura and Ryu are a great pair because they can contrast with each other. And I'm hoping that we're going to get a nice little contrast between Ken and Ryu here. Because if we don't, this is just going to be Dragon Ball Evolution again.
That's fair. I mean, the only other Street Fighter characters, from what I can tell, that appear in this are Gouken, who is Ryu and Ken's master,
right,
and Akuma. I don't see anybody else from the franchise showing up in this, which makes it sound like it could possibly be a little boring. And we said to each other before we started recording, we reserve the right to skip ahead in this.
Look, this thing's 2 hours and 33 minutes long. I have not eaten since breakfast. I have snacks. I'm going to be eating some snacks. Matt, I apologize. They are crunchy.
That's fine.
But if this thing sags, we're hitting fast forward.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and move forward, Chris. Pause this. Do a little musical interlude. Watch the movie. And come back. And we are back from that marathon of a film.
Here's the thing, like, I feel like I have wasted the day, and we skipped about 45 minutes of that movie.
Maybe half an hour.
It probably wasn't that long. It was probably about a half hour.
We skipped maybe half an hour, and we missed nothing.
Yeah, I mean, we are almost exactly 2 hours from when we started recording.
This is maybe the longest movie we've ever watched for Movie Fighters. It's, if not the longest, it's close. And I feel like we can go through the plot lightning fast.
Oh yeah, like I could do this in like one sentence.
All right, let's do the one sentence attempt.
Okay, Ken and Ryu learn how to do Hadoukens, and then their master gets killed by Akuma.
But we don't even see that happen.
We do. That's right. So it's really just Ken and Ryu learn how to do Hadoukens.
Well, okay. So there are really like three parts to the movie. I wouldn't say there are three acts. Because
that implies a structure that this movie definitely lacks.
Yeah, this movie does not have a structure like that. I think, well, things take place in three different time periods. There's the 1950s, like 1957, 58.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
What happens in that part of the movie is that Gouken, who ends up being Ryu and Ken's master, and his brother Gouki get trained by their master, Gotetsu, who teaches them, you know, the fighting style of Ansetsuken. But during their training, Gouki figures out how to do the Satsui no Hado, which is like the dark version.
It's the dark Hado.
And he gets thrown out of the training program, the dojo. Yeah. When he gets thrown out, Gouki gets even like darker and further into it. When he shows back up at the dojo later, he is fully Akuma, even though the name Akuma is never mentioned in this movie.
I think he mentions it at the very end. He says something like, you know, there's nothing left of Gouki. It's only Akuma.
Okay. He comes back and he kills Gotetsu, which sends Gouken into a terrible depression. And now
Gouken is the master of the style because he's the only one left who knows it.
Right. Also during that, there's like a love triangle thing with Gotetsu's niece, who is initially like involved with Gouki, but then she starts getting on with Gouken, which is another reason that Gouki gets jealous and learns the dark stuff.
Who, by the way, is literally the only woman in this movie.
She is the woman in this movie.
I mean, this movie has a very small cast to begin with, but, like, literally the only woman in this movie.
And you know how she exits the movie? She just goes away.
Yeah. She just leaves.
Gouken is super sad that his master died. And then she leaves and says, like, you got to learn some stuff on your own, Gouken. So I'm leaving. So that's the flashback stuff in the 50s. There's some flashback stuff in the 70s where Ryu and Ken are kids. We see Ryu get basically adopted by Gouken, where he is like a mute homeless boy that Gouken decides to raise, and then we see the origin of his name. Oh, this movie is full of origins of stuff, by the way.
This movie, there's so many origins of things. Like, I am going to tell you, this is a literal list of things we get origins for in this movie. Ryu's name. Ryu's headband. Akuma's necklace that he wears. What else? The gloves.
The kanji on Akuma's back.
The kanji on Akuma's back. The gloves that Ryu and Ken wear have an origin story.
Yeah. Like Ken's haircut.
Ken's haircut. And also, like, the bigger thing, which is the Hadouken and the Shoryuken.
Right. I think there's more origin stuff for Akuma. Why he ties his hair up. It does not give an origin for his belt or his hair color, which kind of ruined the end of the movie for us, I think. Are there other origins? I feel like we're missing some.
We're probably missing something, but, like, I think all you need to know is that, no joke, we get an origin for Ryu's headband. And it's funny because in the scene before, Matt, you pointed out, you're like, oh, hey, he's wearing a white headband instead of a red headband. And then, like, immediately after that, like, as soon as you had said that, we get an origin for why he has a red headband.
Yeah. And in case you were curious as to why, he and Ken have a big fight to determine, I don't know, who has trained better or whatever. And Ken hits him with his fiery dragon uppercut and hurts Ryu's head. Like, his head is busted open. So Ken rips off part of his red gi and ties it onto Ryu's head. That's the origin of the headband.
And then he says, keep it as a memento.
Of our battle.
Of our battle.
Yeah. Okay. The third time period is the present, which is actually 1987, which is, like, seriously, everything that happens is that Ken and Ryu learn how to do a Dukins. Ryu toys around with the Dark Hado, but decides not to use it. Then they leave, and Gouken and Akuma face each other at the end, and don't even fight.
Yeah, they square off, and it cuts to black, and we get credits.
And then there's a post-credit scene where Ken and Ryu are at San Francisco Airport, and there's a Shadaloo suitcase.
Yeah, you see, like, Bison's symbol on a crate.
Yeah.
That is being wheeled by. This movie is really frustrating.
That's everything that happens in the movie. Like, plot-wise, basically.
That's everything that happens in the movie. It's 2.5 hours long. Most of, like, it's all told out of order and through flashbacks. And those flashbacks are shown multiple times. Because we're watching a web series, like, episodes of series that have been put together. But the thing is, like, with a web series, you do not need to show flashbacks multiple times because it's a web series and you can just go watch it.
I was begging, as we watched this, I was begging for that 105-minute cut.
Yeah, but now here's the... Okay, we've basically gone through everything that happens in the movie, so here's my question for you, Matt. Do you think there's a cut of this movie that's good? Because that's a thing that we run into with a lot of these movies. Like, most of the bad movies that we watch are bad, at least in part, because they go on too long. Like, there are really meandery scenes. Like, you could be like, oh yeah, you can cut that out. Like, I think with, what was it, Dracula Untold, we were like, yeah, like, there's a, like, you could cut this movie to the bone and have something that was way more entertaining.
Yeah. I don't even know if that's the best example, but yeah.
Do you think that there is a, like, the 105-minute cut of this movie is good? Like, do you think that there could be, you could take what we just watched, cut a bunch of it out, and end up with a good movie?
No.
I don't either. Because what they're showing isn't interesting anyway.
Well, the biggest flaw of the movie is that there is no plot to speak of.
Yeah, nothing happens. There's, like, no conflict.
Okay, so there's a scene that seems like it's setting up the climax of the movie, where Akuma shows up at the dojo where Gouken is training Ryu and Ken. And he and Gouken face each other. They have some dialogue exchange. And Akuma basically tells Gouken, you're not ready to fight me yet. I'm going to leave. And then I'm going to come back when I feel the Dark Hado again. And then I'm going to kill you. Ryu and Ken see him. They see Akuma as he's leaving. And they ask, who's that guy? What is that about? Which, that all leads you to believe that the climax of the movie is going to be maybe Ryu and Ken trying to save Gouken from Akuma. Or, like, Gouken being killed by Akuma, and then Ryu and Ken fighting him away. That's not what happens. Yeah, Ryu and Ken just leave.
And I think that's, like, this movie is attempting to fit into game continuity, right?
Right.
So there can't be anything that we see later, like, that we know from the games. There can't be any piece of the story that we know from the games. It all has to be stuff that would be in place before that. But we don't even get the interesting stuff from before the games. Like, we don't see the fight with Akuma. We don't see Ryu fighting Sagat. Like, we literally just see Ryu and Ken learning how to do Hadoukens.
Because those stories are told in Street Fighter Alpha.
Yeah.
So this movie is trying to do absolute strict adherence to the game continuity, and it suffers so badly for it.
Yeah.
There's like a 15 minute period, maybe one of those 12 minute episodes, where this movie gets really good.
And yeah, really it was like really fun there towards the end.
Towards the end, there's maybe half an hour left. So it's maybe like episode 9 or 10 of
the series. It's like an hour and 54 minutes in is where it starts.
So I guess it's like episode 10 of the web series. And we see like Gouken sending Ryu and Ken out to prepare for their fight with each other. Their fight, Ryu and Ken's big fight near the end of the movie is probably the best scene of the entire movie. For all we've said about how like meandering and bad this movie is, when fights actually happen, they're good.
Yeah, no, like, the biggest problem with the fights is that they have the Zack Snyder slowdown speed up thing going on.
Right.
Which is completely unnecessary because Christian Howard, who plays Ken, and Mike Mo, who plays Ryu, they're really good. Like, they're legitimately impressive dudes, like, doing fight stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they look really great. The fights actually look really cool. They really flow well. They're shot really well, too. The problem is that there are almost no fights in this movie.
There are a handful.
It's at least 45 minutes into this movie before we get what we would call a fight, I would say.
There's something resembling a fight very early on when Ken's dad initially brings him to the dojo in the 70s. And then he and Ryu meet each other. They put on their original punch pads that cannot withstand Ansetsuken fighting.
Right, they can't withstand the Hado, so they have to get special gloves.
Yeah, Ken burns his off when he does his fiery dragon punch. But when they first meet each other, Ken starts talking shit to Ryu, and so Ryu punches him out. And it's like that scene from the first G.I. Joe movie where young Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow fight each other.
Well, we thought it was going to be like that.
I mean, it's a lot shorter. I do like it when kids in movies fight each other.
The G.I. Joe movies are not good. The G.I. Joe movies are, in fact, pretty bad. But I can't ever hate them. Because that second one has the RZA going, Storm Shadow, prepare for battle! And that first one has 9-year-old Snake Eyes and 9-year-old Storm Shadow in what is like at least a 5-minute fight scene, just beating the shit out of each other.
And it's a death match. Like, they're fighting
They're going to kill each other. these tiny children, who again are like super good at karate, are like trying to kill each other with martial arts. This movie, it's literally just like Ken pops Ryu in the nose and then Ryu throws Ken down.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
There's at least one other fight between Ryu and Ken that's pretty good, where they're doing like straight up Street Fighter moves to each other. Ryu does the back throw that Ryu does, and Ken does the forward throw that Ken does.
Yeah.
And like those parts were neat. And then there's also a part where Ryu and Ken and Gouken, like, they spend a long section of the movie at the original dojo where Gouken was taught. So there's, like, not any technology there or anything. It's basically a dojo from the 17th century.
Yeah, this movie partially takes place in the 1600s.
Yeah. But then they go back to Gouken's dojo, which is like half dojo, half 1980s house.
I remember what we forgot. I remember what we forgot that we got the origin for.
What?
We got the origin for Ryu's stage music.
Oh, yeah. An old man can play it on a flute.
There's like an old fisherman.
Who is the only comic relief in the movie.
Yeah, and he's like again, he is dressed like this is a period piece. And he is like, yeah, I'm going to write you a song. And it's kind of a recurring thing through the movie. And he finally writes a song. He also refers to Ken as woman.
Yes.
Like, shut up, woman.
Yes.
Which, look, that's not a cool thing to say to anyone. But it did strike me as really funny.
I was waiting. I was waiting for the reveal that that old man was Gotetsu.
Yeah, he was anybody.
But he wasn't.
He's just some weird old dude who gives Ryu his stage music.
And hates Ken because he's a foreigner.
And really hates Ken because he's a long-haired foreigner.
Yeah. There's a part where Gouken's dojo is revealed as an 80s house. And, like, Ken and Ryu have, like, this... Even though they are grown men, they are at least in their 20s. They have this, like, 1980s kids room with a TV set and a Nintendo. And there's a part where Gouken brings them Mega Man 2.
Yeah, because Ken's dad sends it to him.
Yeah.
And they open it up and go, Mega Man 2!
And then they go play it. And it's like an entirely different movie. Like, immediately after that, by the way, their copy of Mega Man 2 is in English, and they're supposed to be in Japan. I do not get that at all.
Well, it's because Ken's dad bought it, obviously.
He bought the English version?
Yeah, well, he bought it in San Francisco.
I guess.
Yeah.
And then shipped it to Japan.
Well, also, they have an NES and not a Famicom, if you want to really get into it.
Fair. That's true. Immediately after that, they train to music on a boombox.
Yeah, they're like, to a remix of Ryu's stage music.
Yeah.
Like, blasting on a boombox while they, like, lift weights in the yard. Like, that is the movie I would have liked to see.
Yeah. Like, look, there's something to be said for this movie not totally giving in to fan service. Like, only the characters that are in this story appear in this story. Not even, like, characters who you think might appear are in this, like Sakura, right? There is no Sakura. There is only Ryu, Ken, Gouken, Akuma, Gotetsu, the niece,
and the old man.
The old man. And that's it.
And that's it. Like, it's really, and a servant, like, it's really
guy.
Small cast.
There's a servant guy.
Yeah, Senzo.
Who gets a long scene at the end that is totally unnecessary.
There's a lot of long scenes in this thing that are really unnecessary. But, like, this thing's called Street Fighter The Assassin's Fist. For there to be this little fighting in this movie is ridiculous. Like, especially because, like, everyone involved in this movie is, like, a for-real martial artist. I don't get why you wouldn't start with fights and end with fights and have fights in the middle. And I kind of understand why, because there's only, like, five characters in the movie. And, you know, two of them are dead and out of the picture before two of them, you know, are in the movie. But, like, that's why there's eight characters in Street Fighter 1, so that you can fight people.
Yeah, I guess I assume the other reason is budget.
Yeah.
Like, fights, especially these fights that involve a lot of Hadouken special effects and Dragon Punch special effects.
Yeah, but I feel like what you could do is you have the fights... Like, you do a lot of fights, and then the fight at the end, like, at the last dragon, right? The fight at the right. end is the one where you do the special effects.
Yeah. I mean, like, that makes sense.
Even the training sequences are mega boring, like, when they're learning how to do Hadoukens.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because it's a foregone conclusion. Like, yeah, we know Ryu can do a Hadouken.
We know Ken can do a Hadouken. We know Ken can do a Dragon Punch.
Yeah. It's, like... There, it is an origin story for something that we don't need an origin for. And that we have kind of seen the origin for. If, you know, if you're a Street Fighter fan, you've probably watched, you know, a Street Fighter anime movie or two. You've probably seen Street Fighter Alpha. If you've seen Street Fighter Alpha, this is pointless. You know, from a plot standpoint. You get to see dudes who, like, you get to see some super good-looking, super ripped dudes as Ken and Ryu. If that is a thing you're into. Like, I do not want to take anything away from those dudes. They are good looking and cut.
I kept saying throughout this that the guy who was playing Ken looked like a ripped Jared Leto.
He does.
Which, yeah, I mean, that's what he, like, they are not great actors, but they are good fighters.
Ken is not a great actor. Christian Howard is not a great actor. Mike Moe, I actually thought was really good.
Yeah, he's not bad. Ken is not as good of an actor as the actor who played Ryu.
No, and, but he does look like Ryu stepped out of the video game. You know, like yeah. I get it. And he's again, like all the fight choreography and the stunt work. Like, and I'm pretty sure all the fight choreography was done by Joey Ansa, who is
the director
and the writer.
Christian Howard also co-wrote this. Christian Howard, who plays Ken, is the other co-writer.
The thing that I said after we watched it was that this is in every way a 2.5-hour fan film.
Yeah.
Like, because it is literally, like, written, directed, and acted largely by three dudes who are probably friends, but probably friends from doing martial arts.
Right. And I'll say, like, the actor who plays Goken is not bad. He has some not great moments.
Yeah.
But he is not bad.
No, he's not, like, the worst actor in this movie is Christian Howard, and he's still, like, he's still serviceable.
Yeah, he's just got some bad line deliveries here and there.
The thing is, like, it's weird that he's the writer, because in the scenes where, you know, they're having a little more fun, like, in the scenes where he's like, you know, oh, it's Mega Man 2, like, that stuff comes off as really good, I think. It's like, all the serious stuff that I think...
So much of this movie is the serious stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think there's anything else much to say about what happens in this movie. I think we've covered it.
Yeah, I mean, like, nothing happens in this movie, and it happens for 2.5 hours.
All right, then I guess it's time to just move on to high points.
I can't believe that we watched a 2.5-hour movie, and this is going to be like a 45-minute podcast.
Yeah. High points, like, of Street Fighter Assassin's Fist.
The choreography is really good. The fight choreography is really good. The fights look really good when they're not Zack Snyder'd up. By and large, the cinematography and the actual, like, photography of everything, this movie looks good. It looks professional.
Yeah, like, our biggest complaint about Legend of Chun-Li was that it was shot like garbage.
Yeah.
You know? This movie is shot way better than Legend of Chun-Li was.
The fight between Gotetsu and Akuma, like, in the flashback, is really dark. And I think it's done like that so you don't get to see Akuma, which is weird, because if you're watching this, you know what Akuma looks like. Like, why would you?
Also,
like,
Akuma,
why would you hide it?
Also, Akuma already appeared. Like, yeah. you didn't see his full face, but he appeared in the light in the scene where he goes to the dojo to confront Goken.
That aside, like, everything's really well lit. All the sets actually look really good. I mean, there's like three of them, but everything looks nice. Yeah. It does not at all look like Japan.
No, it looks like Canada, even though it is Bulgaria.
It is Bulgaria. It could not look less like Japan or more like Canada, which I think is hilarious. From a technical standpoint, like, everything, like, this movie looks way better than The Legend of Chun-Li, which is, you know, was
a theatrical release.
Like, I'm not going to say big budget, but it obviously had a budget.
Yeah. Along those lines, the special effects in this are very good. Like, there's a scene where the old fisherman challenges Ryu and Ken to fire a Hadouken across a lake to see if they can get it to the other side. And there's an effect where they shoot the Hadouken and it makes the water churn up.
Yeah, and it ripples good. The water.
It looks good.
Yeah.
There are other special effects that look good as well. Like the stuff with the kanji on Akuma's back.
When the kanji gets burned in his back is really cool. Like, all the Street Fighter-y stuff, you know, all the Hadoukens, all the Shoryukens, all the, like, they do the Tatsumaki Senpuyaku kick, I think is what it's called. Like, that, like, everything looks good, whether it's, you know, special effects or whether it's just dudes doing martial arts at each other. Like, it all looks good. And
yeah.
The fights, I think, like, there's a couple really, really good fights with Ken and Ryu that, like, unfortunately
are few and far between.
Yeah, they're few and far between, and they don't really go anywhere.
All right. Now that we've already started in on it, I guess low points of this movie. I mean, I think we've already covered a lot of them.
It's the cardinal sin, dude. It's boring.
It's boring. It's meandering. It's boring. You know, we admittedly skipped parts of this movie. We missed nothing at all.
Yeah. And we did not skip as much as I wanted to.
After the skips, there were a couple times we were like, okay, who's that character? Like, it had introduced a new character. But then we quickly figured it out. Like, somebody would say, she's, you know, she's Gotetsu's niece. And we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's like, there's so much that's unnecessary in this movie, but if you cut away everything that was unnecessary, it would be half an hour long. Like, all you need to see of certain things, like there's a scene after Gotetsu dies where we see Gouken being really sad for a really long time. And you were like, you know, you identified, like, okay, this 10 seconds is all they need to see to get this information across.
Yeah, there's a scene where Gouken is sitting by the grave, Gotetsu's grave. He holds up a sake cup to the grave and then puts down the container of sake on the side of the grave, and he's drunk, so it falls off and it spills. That is enough to show that he is sad and he is drinking himself into a stupor.
Yeah.
That's all you needed.
Also, like, look, I like fan service. I really do. When you're doing a project like this, there is a level that is expected. But the level that is expected is not every piece of clothing Ryu wears needs to have an origin story. Like, do you know why Ryu wears a headband? Well, it's probably because he gets sweaty sometimes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that we need to know why his is red.
Yeah.
All right, are we doing final thoughts?
I just read that they were planning a second season of Joey Anasha's Street Fighter stuff. And it is called, like, this one was called Assassin's Fist. The next one is called World Warriors, which is, you know, Street Fighter 2.
Right.
I kind of want to see it. Because I feel like every problem that we have with this movie is fixed by not making it a prequel anymore. Like, if they actually, like, if this did well, and this did well enough to, you know, to get a sequel, to get Capcom to approve a sequel, then they can bring in the other characters and then spend a lot of time doing interesting fights, you know? Like, I feel like there is potential there. Like, as bad as this was, and look, I hated this. I hated every second of watching this because it's so boring and, like, and so dry and pointless. Like, I like all the people involved in it. Like, no one in this movie came off as a pain to watch, you know? And I feel like if they go, okay, now we get to play with the stuff everybody likes, I feel like they could do a good one.
Yeah, I mean, if they could cherry pick the stuff from this that's enjoyable and make that the whole thing, then it could be worthwhile.
Yeah.
Like, do the fun stuff, don't do the meandering melodrama.
Yeah, like Ryu and Ken in this movie are likable enough. You know, Mike Moe and Christian Howard are likable enough that I would be really into seeing them, you know, travel around the world and fight Zangief, you know? Like, even if it's just a bunch of green screen stuff. Like, even if it's just, you know, we're pretending we're in Russia. We're pretending we're in Japan for this whole movie. But, like, if we could get a little bit of that, like, I feel like they could, you know, follow Ken and Ryu and do something interesting, like contrasting them with the other characters.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think we could get a Dhalsim that actually stretches.
Yeah, like, I would love to see the version of Guile that exists in this movie. Because the more Street Fighter stuff you add in, and the reason I think people latch onto Ken and Ryu, right? Like, just like with comics, there's a level where fans want this stuff to be serious, right? And Ken and Ryu kind of have the most serious story. It's, you know, the man struggling with the darkness within him, and he has the potential to, you know, like you said, evil Ryu is a character in Street Fighter.
he is an actual character that you can pick in Street Fighter.
So,
and that's Ryu, another fan servicey thing that sort of gets an origin in this.
Yeah,
like the notion of evil Ryu.
Like, his story is the most serious one, arguably. Even though, you know, Chun-Li is a cop looking for the man who killed her father.
Right.
But, like, you know, Blanca is a jungle monster.
Like, even Ken has a little more comic relief in his story by itself. Of, like, you know, going off to fight for his family and then coming back to support them. And, like, he's always, like, smiling and thumbs-upping and peace-signing, you know, like...
Yeah.
Even his story is pretty different from Ryu's.
Yeah, but you know, there's a certain kind of fan. And you know, I'm not saying this is a good or bad thing. There's a certain kind of fan that is attracted to the more serious elements because they like the storyline and they want the storyline to be taken seriously. Like you and me, we like, you know, Sakura and Ibuki and like Blanca and the Van Damme movie. Like, I want the weird stuff, but I think the kind of seriousness of what they're trying to do with this, which is the Ken, Ryu, Akuma, Dark Hido stuff, if you added a little bit of the rest of the weirdness from Street Fighter, if you added in M. Bison, like, if you even just added in M. Bison, you could get something that was a lot more palatable because you wouldn't just be having two guys getting ready to fight each other for an hour at a time.
And I don't even think you have to put them in the movie proper. Just have them existing in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, have a scene, instead of dozens of flashback scenes that accomplish what you could accomplish. Like, this movie ends with flashbacks to the flashbacks.
It really does.
Where you see everything that happened between Gouken and Akuma and Gotetsu in maybe like 4 minutes of montage.
Yeah.
That's all you needed.
It really is.
They could have shown just that montage of flashbacks and gotten across the same information.
Yeah. The origin story of Ken and Ryu before Street Fighter 2, before the video game, cannot stand for 2.5 hours.
So, but instead of that, have scenes where, like, Ken and Ryu are watching TV and Balrog is in a boxing match. Or have them, like, have the news on and stuff about Shadaloo being on the news.
Or you know, do what they did in the comics. And, like, Ryu is traveling around learning to fight from different people. Like, he wants to learn to fight from Dalsim. He wants to learn to fight from Zangief. Like, and Ken is maybe trying to find him. Like, there are things you can do with these characters. Like, these characters are kind of weird enough and in a lot of ways one note enough that you could throw them into a movie and do anything you wanted with them.
I mean, I think you're already writing a movie that this movie didn't have the budget for.
Yeah, no, I know. But like,
there are ways that they could have accomplished it. Instead of, like, the way we ended up describing this movie as it was ending is like when you were in college and somebody asked you to write a 20-page research paper. And your first thought was, oh, shit, how am I going to fill up 20 pages with this thing? And then you end up just, like, trying to put in as much filler as you can so you can reach the page limit. It feels like this is like writers putting in as much filler as they could to fill 12 episodes of a web series.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And I feel like there's a way that they could have done this same story. Like, there's a way they could have hit these same beats that I think would have been better than what we got, like with all the flashbacks and the way that it's so disjointed in the storytelling. Like, it could have been Ken and Ryu learning the Hadouken, right?
Yeah.
And Ryu's comes out weird. And he's like, okay, that's not, like, that wasn't what I wanted to happen. Like, maybe it blows up the dojo or something. And that's when, you know, Gouken can be like, oh, that's the Dark Hado. Let me tell you about, like, my brother. And then you get that flashback and that story, which you could cut down to about 10 minutes. And then he goes, yeah, since you used that, he probably sensed it and he's going to come fight me and kill me. Like, there's a way to get through all this stuff quickly in a much more efficient way.
Well, you asked me, is there a cut of this movie that could be good?
Yeah.
And I said, no.
No.
I think I'm changing my mind. There is. And it's 22 minutes long.
See, I don't even think there is, because I think what they have chosen, like the footage that we just watched, is inherently uninteresting.
Well, I think it has to be recut.
You would have to just shoot 22 new minutes.
I think it has to be recut drastically.
Uh-huh.
But there are things that happen, like, I think you keep the flashbacks out of it completely until the very end. Like, you don't know what happened between Gouken and Akuma until the very end. And then we see the flashbacks when they confront each other.
Mm-hmm.
Up to that point, it's sort of a mystery what happened between them. We only see the clues. Like, okay, there's a scene early on in this where Ken goes into Gouken's old room in his old dojo, and he finds a book that basically teaches the Dark Hado.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ken starts toying around with the Dark Hado, and Gouken's like, how did you find out about this? And Ken says, well, I found this book. And then Gouken takes the book and burns it in his hand. Right?
Right.
If that was told in an expedient and interesting way, where we weren't already learning about all the stuff about Gouken's past, you might be like, well, why is he burning that? What's so bad about what that is? And then that could be revealed, you know? But that's not how any of this plays out.
Right.
I think there's a very, very drastic recut. Not just shortening it down, but actually rearranging the story beats entirely, where this becomes a palatable story.
Yeah. So I guess that's a long final thoughts segment. But yeah, like, I did not like this at all, but I would like to see these guys get another shot. Like, I feel like they probably learned a lot from doing this.
They are on the cusp of being good.
Yeah, like, the next one could be really good.
I feel like this is our same experience with RoboCop 2014.
Uh-huh.
To an even greater degree.
Yeah, well, like, look, I mean, for one thing, we definitely did not like this as much as we liked RoboCop 2014.
Not at all. But, like, even though it is a bad movie, there is potential in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is where we're coming down on it. We have watched the longest movie we've ever watched in Movie Fighters history. We may have recorded one of, if not our shortest episode, one of our shortest episodes.
Yeah. Okay, let's come down on this. Would you recommend people watch this?
No.
Yeah, me either. We did find out, though, because Hulu is suggesting it since I watched the complete Street Fighter Assassin's Fist, Tekken 2 is on Hulu, Matt.
Yeah, I saw that a while back. I, in fact, told you about that.
Did you really?
And you dismissed it out of hand.
Can you blame me?
I know.
All right. Well, if you would like to hear more of Matt and I talking about Street Fighter, our episode about Street Fighter and our episode about Street Fighter: The Legend of Chun-Li. Wait, did we actually do an episode of Street Fighter, or was that a Comics Alliance?
That was a Comics Alliance write-up.
You can go read that at Comics Alliance, but Street Fighter: The Legend of Chun-Li, we did as an episode of Movie Fighters in the Bandcamp years, so you can go check that out on moviefighters.bandcamp.com. You can also grab the full original season, all 25 episodes, and that is a lot of fun.
Yeah, in one handy package. It's all in one big album on Bandcamp.
And you will find out why I am so dismissive of the very idea of watching Tekken 2.
If you want us to watch Tekken 2 and you would like to suggest it to us, you can do so on our email address, which is moviefighterscast@gmail.com, or on Tumblr at moviefighters.tumblr.com, or our website, which is moviefighterscast.com, in our comments section. But that's it for this episode of Movie Fighters. We came in at under an hour, which is rare for us.
Which is ridiculous, because this movie was so long.
Yep. Our music is by Michael Kill. Our website was designed by Sean Bogus. We will be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Perhaps Tekken 2. Perhaps we're going to take on the series of movies that we have been talking about and dive into Left Behind. Let us know what you would prefer on our website or elsewhere. For now, thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a Kaleidos Media production.